Yo. 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 Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone. We bout to party. We bout to party. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gon' turn it up.
Hey everybody, welcome to AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. It is Thursday morning if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform, Monday if you're watching that on YouTube. I am Aubrey Edwards here with my wonderful co-host, Alex Abrahentes. How are you, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. Super excited to talk to our guest. You know, Aubrey, we spend a lot of time backstage and sometimes we don't have an opportunity to connect with everyone just because, you know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing and whatnot. So I'm just really, really excited to get to know our guest coming up here because got a great story and happens to be one third of the ROH six-man champs.
Yes, new champ, new two-time champ. How are you, Khan?
I'm doing pretty good. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. Where are you located, by the way?
I live in San Antonio, Texas.
Ooh.
I know when this releases, it'll be January, but like, oh my God, we're there next week. So that's super easy for you. You get to drive to work.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah.
Are you going to walk to work?
Maybe. I'll probably take like ride my bike down there, probably like a 10-minute bike ride. So.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I love the idea of taking your bike to work. I don't know how many people at AEW that could do that. That's dope. Anyway, congratulations. Final battle was recently, and you just became two-time ROH six-man tag team champion. This is the first time you've gotten it with the Embassy, and we'll go all into this detail. So Embassy defeats Dalton Castle and the boys for the championship. What was this match like for you? Because the crowd was electric.
It was really, really cool. The first time I won the six-man titles with Ring of Honor was during the pandemic, so there's no crowd. So we won it in an empty building, and it was like, you really couldn't soak in that feeling. So winning it this time in front of like a full house, just hearing the crowd and being electric, I kind of just like a lost part of myself. And that's when I get really cocky and start talking shit to people. So.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So what did you do to celebrate? Did you do anything special? What did you do like immediately after?
I actually had to drive back to San Antonio right after. Made a 4.5-hour drive. And then I went, I got some pizza, had a couple donuts, and I just called it a night.
Now that's a championship celebration.
Oh, yeah.
I know, right? I love that Wrestling Days is like, I'm going to eat like not at all before my match. So I'm still like not super bloated. And then afterwards it's like pizza and donuts, motherfucker. Like this is how we roll.
That's it.
Everyone just goes to catering and grabs all the desserts to save for later. It's like, all right, I'm going to eat three of these, but not until after my match. I love it. So you're a part of Gates of Agony tag team with Toa. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you guys first became a tag team.
It's kind of funny because him and I saw each other at some of the darks that we did. I remember telling a friend of mine, like, I was like, I want to talk to this guy. He looks like he wrestles the way that I like to wrestle. Big dude, doesn't do too much, like good pace. It's like, I want to talk to him. So we actually both got flown to DC at the same time. And we just kind of hit it off. And we had like a 3-hour conversation. And then Tony wanted to talk to both of us at the same time. He's like, you know what? I want to sign you guys. I want you guys to be in a tag team. Like the irony, we just had this great conversation. We're actually pretty similar and like have the same mindset and motivations in wrestling. So just kind of worked out that way.
Wow, that's super cool. And yeah, you complement each other so well. And I remember seeing you guys at Dark and you guys have such a presence that, I mean, Tony has such an amazing gift of being able to pair people and his just instincts are always just spot on with that stuff, which is amazing. So it's so cool to see you guys together as a team. When did you find out that you were going to be paired with Tully Blanchard?
I believe it was Super Card of Honor. Like we were hearing rumblings from a couple of people. I was like, oh, I might be with Tully. We get to the building like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Been over Tully. At first, I didn't know how to feel about that. Like I knew who the Four Horsemen was and I was just kind of wondering what the direction was going to be. But then once I actually got to meet him, I got to travel with him a lot. He's also in San Antonio. Got to train with him a little bit. Such a cool guy. I just sit there to like have film study sessions with him. All the knowledge that he was giving to us in that short amount of time. Yeah, I was really fortunate for that situation to work out.
We talk about Tully Blanchard, but then Prince Nana comes in, purchases Tully Blanchard Enterprises. The Embassy is reformed.
Yeah.
This wonderful group that has history with Ring of Honor. So the Embassy, you've got Prince Nana, Brian Cage, you and Toa. How did you find out you were going to be a part of the Embassy? Was it kind of a similar thing like day of? You're like, oh, hey, by the way, this is a new thing.
Yeah, pretty much day of. A lot of the shuffling was happening that day. And then, again, like, this irony in this. I remember messaging Prince Nana on Twitter like 2 years prior. I was like, hey, man, I've always been a fan of yours. He's like, hey, man, I'm a fan of yours. Like, hopefully get to work together someday. And then seeing him that day, I was like, yo, remember that conversation that we had a couple years ago when I just started wrestling? We're like, we're fans of one another. Like, it's kind of like the that meme of like, look at us, here we go. So,
wow, that's the universe talking right there.
Seriously. And then even meeting Brian and like, again, same kind of motivation and mindset with wrestling, three big body guys who all work out together. Like, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Now, did you know Brian? Have you met him before or was that your first time meeting him?
That was my first time meeting him.
Yeah, Brian's a really great guy because he just like from a distance, you're like, man, this guy's super scary. And then like I had a conversation with him after the show the other day. We both found out like we had a love for petting zoos and goats. So he was like sending me all these like goat videos on Instagram. He's like, look at this cute goat. I'm like, yes, yes, this is great.
No, he's awesome. The stuff that he's already told us now, like when you go into towns, it's like, hey, tell them that we're here. You can go to the gym for free. Like come with some of the like little things he's told us about indie shows is calling up, act like you're the promoter or something. Get free tickets to whatever. Just take advantage of all these situations. Like, man, thank you. Just taking notes.
Yeah, Toa was saying he was here one time and Brian Cage wasn't here. He's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know who to go to the gym with. Like, who do I text? Hobbs is going to the gym. Okay, I'll text Hobbs. Like, yep. And it's just funny how you build up that routine together. So like, do you guys actually like all have the same routine or do you just go to the gym and then kind of work out on your own? And
kind of just go to the gym and work out on our own. I'm kind of an asshole. Like, that's why I have these big headphones on. Do not talk to me when I'm working out. I just rather be alone in my own zone. I kind of get a little crazy. Like some people can be social, but I can't do it. I get even more upset. Just let me go do my own thing.
Yeah, you're focused. You got to get that workout in.
Yeah.
You don't have time to be chit-chatting. I mean, that's for later.
Exactly.
So let's talk about your background because this was pretty fascinating when I read the notes. So you're a Cameroonian prince. On your father's side, there's royalty. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. So my dad is from the small village called Bua in Cameroon. And my grandfather was actually the chief of our village. He passed away. And then like kind of how it broke down, my dad would be the chief now and I'd be the prince. So when I went there actually like a decade ago, you think about royalty, you don't think about like African royalty, you think about like, you know, England. And like, that's just kind of what you see in the media. But when I went there, we have like this huge compound, there's mansions, drivers, like you don't have to touch a thing.
Wow.
And I literally just had people like serve me for the month that I was there. It was wild. And I've learned as I've done like research on this, maybe like decades, centuries ago, they used to have like this traditional wrestling style, Kawasua, and that's how chiefs were determined back then. That's kind of phased out. It's more about who has more political power, more money nowadays. I guess my family has a lot of wealth. But I thought that was really interesting. So I was like, oh, what is the chance to be becoming a professional wrestler? It's always been in my blood. I've been destined to become this thing because that's how my grandfather became the chief back in the day.
This is some Black Panther shit. And I love that, like, I just love the idea that, like, now you're a wrestler. So if, like, you suddenly had to go back to the old ways of, like, defending yep. your position, like, you, no one could best you because yep. you'd just be like, no, screw you, buddy. I'm going to win. This is my throne.
Exactly.
That's fascinating. How did you end up going from Cameroon to America? Like, how did that all happen?
I mean, I was born in Minnesota. My dad came here.
Oh, there you go.
Like 16, 17, they had like this lottery system for people that want to come over and go to school. And I think he literally just came over here. He ended up in Pennsylvania, went to school, somehow ended up in Minnesota. And I remember him telling me he would just go to classes for the college classes. He wasn't even enrolled in the classes. He literally would just go to classes. He found the ones that he wanted to take, did all the coursework. They just assumed that he was a part of the class. And at the end of the semester, he's like, hey, I'm not enrolled here, but I took all the tests and everything. Can I still get the college credit? That's what he did. That's somehow he got his degree that way. This is crazy.
You know what's crazy is it just dawned on me that you're an actual prince and you're managed by Prince Nana. Like,
right?
What's the relationship now that you had a chance to work with Nana for quite a while?
I haven't told him this, but I kind of look at him like my dad a little bit.
Aww.
Like he just has like this fatherly feel and it's cool to see him like immediately just light up.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with him. Like, the relationship I have with him, just teaching me things. He's been around for such a long time and all the history he's had with Ring of Honor and the embassy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like seeing my dad and I'm like, ah, come here, give me a hug. All right, let's talk business. What are we doing? So what are we using your riches to buy here over here? So very cool.
That's so cool.
I agree with that. He just has such like a warm presence.
Yeah.
Like
great guy.
It's great being like near the ring with him because like we're just jaw jacking all the time. But backstage he's like, oh, I really love working with you. It's so great. Blah, blah, blah. And he's just like such a nice guy. Like all totally breaking the fourth wall. But like all you guys are just so nice.
Yeah.
Which is always fun when like I'm in the ring with you and like Toa is just like the scariest guy in the world. I'm like, oh God, who are you? You were the wonderful man wearing Crocs backstage like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Uh-oh, Crocs.
Uh-oh.
We're really breaking down that fourth wall today.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. That's great. All right. Let's go back to ROH a little bit.
Yeah.
So you won the titles during the pandemic. ROH ceases operation. What was sort of the timeline between the end of ROH and you coming to AEW?
Oh, it was very quick. The week prior to Final Battle, I remember I got a little birdie in the locker room. I was like, hey, someone from AEW wants to talk to you. I was like, oh, that's perfect. Because if this is Final Battle, this is our last day here. They're in Garland next week, so I can just make that drive and be right there. So I got in contact, and literally, I had my plan set after Final Battle. Like, I was very sad. I, like, cried at that show. It was just super emotional. But then, literally, 2 days later, I was like, all right, here's a huge opportunity. I never really got to wrestle by myself and be a singles. My first match was Andrade, of all people.
Oh, my God.
So I just, I don't know, that was my plan. I looked at it very strategically. I was like, I don't want to be out of this job for long, so... let's just make it happen. I know I have talent. I know that I look great. So it's worked out.
I love asking this question of folks who worked at Ring of Honor. What was your impression, or where were you when you found out that Tony had purchased Ring of Honor?
I believe I was at home. I was watching Dynamite and I was just like, "What? First of all, like, what does that mean for everyone here? Like, we all just lost our job, essentially.
We all have the same question.
Yeah. Like, what does that mean? Is it the tape library? Is all the roster getting higher? Like, what's actually going on? But again, prior to that, I was already having my opportunities on Dark, so I was like, I'm past this. Like, I'm moving forward.
Going back to your Dark matches, first one's with Andrade, second one's with Adam Cole, who we all know has this amazing history with Ring of Honor. What was it like working with him?
Oh, Adam is awesome. And I've talked about this before. Like, I study these Dark matches religiously. I would watch these and like, okay, what are these people doing here that are getting opportunities, and how can I maybe showcase my skill and stand out? And just for the way that I was trained, I'm like, to me, it's all about the moments. So I knew that they were like throwing me the fire with the opponents that I was having. But it's like, how can I make myself stand out? One is slapping Andrade in the face. Mm. And two is chopping Adam Cole as hard as possible and being like,
yep,
I'm not here to back down, you guys. Like, I'm here to really get a job and show you that I belong in the ring. So I remember coming back after that match and Tony was like, are you okay? Like, is he okay? Like, why was he hitting you so hard? I'm like, that's just how I wrestle, man. Like, I'm showing you that I'm different. Like, I'm here to really get a job.
Had you previously worked with any other talent at AEW before being a part of AEW?
I don't think so. I think when I got signed there, the Elite just left. So I remember seeing them at a show in the Hammerstein Ballroom. It was kind of just like two ships crossing. And I said hi to everybody, but like, I never got to wrestle anyone. So it was funny that to come to AEW, I'm like, oh, I used to work with all you guys. Like, we've seen each other. We don't really know each other too well, but they know what my face is. So, but now I get the opportunity to, and that's a lot of fun.
It's always great how everything just kind of comes full circle.
Seriously.
It's like, oh, ships passing in the night, but now all the ships end up docking together. This is a great conversation we're having with Khan from the Embassy on AEW Unrestricted. Coming up, we're going to talk some backyard wrestling and the Hardy Boys.
And we're back at Unrestricted. It's Aubrey and Alex, and we have one third of the Ring of Honor six-man champs, Khan. And boy, we've been learning a lot about Khan. This is great. But Khan, we got to talk about your background, your history in pro wrestling. Let's talk some backyard wrestling. So how did you get into this? Tell us a little bit about what your gimmick was. Give us all the deets.
Most people, I fell in love with wrestling when I was like 10 years old. First thing I saw was D-Generation X. Then I saw the Hardy Boys. That's when I started losing my mind. I remember buying their first DVD, I think called Leap of Faith, and they did the backyard trampoline wrestling thing. So I conned my mom and buying me a trampoline.
Whoa. Wait, you conned your mom?
Yeah.
Conned his mom. Okay, tell us about that, please.
It's probably just like promising her that I'll do chores every day for like a month or something. Like, it was only like $100 at Costco. It's like, all right, get us the trampoline. I will be safe, whatever. And one of my best friends who was also obsessed with wrestling, I was like, here we go. We got the ramp. We need the trampoline. I figured out the cost to like make my own backyard post, to get like a water hose for ropes. Like, I literally just studied this DVD and I was like, all right, we're going to make a backyard ring. We had the camcorder set up. And like 2 blocks from my house was this like gymnastic studio that we borrowed mats from. We gave them back eventually. But we basically just made a whole backyard arena. My parents didn't care. So I was like, here we go. We had like 5 people on our little roster. My name was Double X at the time. And then we would just wrestle every day all through the summer, just recording. I have like DVDs of our shows. Like, I really wanted this to be a real thing.
Oh my God. I love it. And I love how resourceful you are. Like, oh, let's use garden hoses for ropes, which is actually pretty smart because it's kind of like cabling and whatnot. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. I also love when you're a kid and you're like, please, mom, buy me this thing. And it's only like $100. But in your mind, that's like priceless, right? Because it's this gigantic thing. And it's just like, I have no idea how much this actually costs in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
So D-Generation X, Hardy Boys, what was it about those sort of groups that pulled you in?
I think with DX was just like my first thing to seeing wrestling. And then like, of course, at that time, it was like the Suck It Chops. And I was like, what am I watching on television right now? This weird like soap opera stuff. And then with the Hardys, it was just like their ladder matches. I remember the Terry Reynolds Invitational and just the bumps. And like you see Jeff Hardy, you see the hair dyed, like the cool cut socks on his arms and tattoos. I don't like jumping off the top rope, but like this is the coolest thing ever. I was just completely enamored, which like forced me to learn how to do flips outside of the front yard, just jumping around. And again, we would do like backyard ladder matches. I don't know, something about being this like enigma that he was. And I feel like he's such a free spirit. I like drew my whole life and did art. So something like I can immediately connect to, and he's soft spoken. I'm like, this is like my role model. So
we're going to talk about that art in a second. But what was your first encounter with Matt Hardy backstage?
I actually met him at a Maryland Championship Wrestling show. It was when they were doing like the whole delete thing. I remember Jeff like passed by me. He was like, okay, I just walked by. And then Matt was backstage and I got to meet him with the promoter. It was like a haze, or maybe I just like blacked out. It was just like a haze of him. I was like, hey, I'm Jasper. He's like, oh, this is some of the guys that are coming up. And like, he just was staring at us. I feel like it was probably a tough match and a lot of trial for those guys. I'm like, I know I don't mean shit, but like, you just made my day. So, but they're very nice.
They're super nice. And like, once you get to know Matt, he's super talkative.
Oh, yeah.
I think like watching the Hardy Boys, I always would have assumed that like Jeff's the super outspoken guy, but it's 100% Matt. Like, he's the guy that just so great. So, just touching on the art thing, you actually went to college for 3D animation and graphic design?
I did. I got my bachelor's in fine art. Then I did a semester of 3D animation on college. California, I realized it was way harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, oh, I want to work for Pixar. Much harder than you think that's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I pivoted, moved back to Minnesota, got my master's in graphic design. My goal is to always art direct publications, make magazines. And within a year in grad school, I was already doing that.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more about that. What type of magazines? Who are you working for?
This small publishing company. It was magazines, and that's cool, but it's like the magazines that you find in hotels where you like the attractions, that kind of stuff. And then if you were going to move to Minnesota, I like made this magazine where you have all the different neighborhoods and like different school districts. It's basically like the state magazine. So ours is Minnesota Monthly. Texas has like their own magazine. And I literally just go through the whole thing, work with the copywriter, kind of design the layout with the pictures and the words, and then my name is in there as art director.
Wow.
Very cool.
Like, I literally wanted to do that. The movie Friends with Benefits with Justin Timberlake, he was the art director of GQ. I was like, oh, what's the art director do? Oh, you get to make magazines? That's what I want to do now. And then I just worked hard enough to do that for a magazine I didn't care about, but it was still good to do art direction.
I mean, it's one of those, like, even though it's not like some crazy thing like GQ or People or whatever, like, hotels need magazines and states need magazines. So that's like pretty constant work. Like, that's stuff that's seen by millions of people. So that's really freaking cool, man. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
You had mentioned briefly Maryland Championship Wrestling, which I know a lot of awesome, awesome wrestlers have come through. Like, why Maryland?
Because of the woman that I was dating at the time. She got a job in Baltimore. I was kind of at a point in my career anywhere where I was just like, I don't really want to work for this agency I'm designing for. I wanted to quit my job. So I was like, oh, let's just switch it up, go somewhere else. And she got a job offer out there. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I knew where Maryland was, but I didn't really know where Maryland was on the map. I was like, oh, let's just go out there. And MCW was out there. So that was like perfect timing. Cause I signed up within 6 months moving out there. And Baltimore was like great to me. I lived out there for like 5-6 years and started my career. So
yeah, that's super cool. It's funny how things kind of work out. So Aubrey had mentioned how many great people had come from Maryland. It's kind of interesting how your destiny led you to there. But then your destiny also led you to, ironically enough, ROH, which their home was in Baltimore. So you had an opportunity in 2008 at a tryout. So tell us about that experience and how that came to be.
Yeah. So I was training at MCW for about a year and a half. Joey McGree, I give a lot of credit to him. He was coming around to teach some of the veteran students everything that he knew because he was a producer at WWE for a while. And then I think there was like this resurgence of starting the ROH dojo system over. So he's like, hey, there's going to be a trial in a few months. I already pulled a couple of the veteran students over. liked you as well. I didn't want to do the tryout. When you get into like wrestling or you're like chasing your dream, to see that it's actually becoming a real thing is very scary. And I was like, I don't want my life to change. I already moved to Maryland. Now I'm wrestling and I'm training twice a week, doing these birthday parties on the weekends. That's a lot. But like now it's going to become a real thing again. I'm going to have a real opportunity to work for ROH and get paid to wrestle. That's very scary. So I had a conversation with my friend Ken Dixon about it. He's like, just go do it. You don't know what's going to happen. I know that I'm pretty talented. Like I virtually believe that. So we did this tryout for 2 days and then got the offer to do the dojo, which was a hell of an experience. It was 4 days a week, basically 4, 5, 6 hours a day working with Joey. Wolf Ferrara, Gresham was there, traveling to, we were basically ring crew. We were like paid ring crew. And there was like a five of us that got to work with Joey every day. And it was just constant, nonstop technical training, film study, cutting promos. This is how the business works. This is what I want you guys to do. It was a lot. It was, some people like hated it. It was a blessing in disguise to me because within a year of being at the dojo, I got offered this contract and then I got to work Ring of Honor, which 5 years prior, I didn't even know what ROH was until I went to an indie show and saw AJ Styles.
Yeah.
So to see that come to fruition, I always talk about like wrestling being very surreal to me. It's the fact that I'm living out this dream, which is crazy to me. Like, oh, I want to be a professional wrestler. Oh, 5.5 years later, yeah, I'm on national television now. So
that's how it works.
No big deal.
It's crazy.
Whatever. So pandemic hits, everything shuts down, and you go from Baltimore to Texas. What was the reason there?
My whole career, I've been in a tag team. And like, this is kind of where the base of this comes from. I was in the tag team a lot of the time. And me and Joey and RJ Meyer, who was my first trainer at MCW, was like, hey, back in the day, people used to travel to towns. That's how they became great at this. So I felt like during the pandemic, a lot of the promotions stopped running on the East Coast. There maybe was like a few, but there was not a lot of opportunities. But I felt like we weren't really getting booked anywhere when I was in the tag team. I was like, you know what? I need to take a chance on myself. Like, I moved out here. I've accomplished like this first chapter of my dream. Now I need to go really out here by myself and start over again. So I ended up moving to Texas. I never really wrestled on independence before, but I wanted to do that. I wanted to have the experience because I was taught that this will make you humble. Like, you need to have these experiences. This is how you grow, become well diverse at wrestling. So when I moved to Texas, I was literally wrestling outside of barns. Like, I was wrestling at these shitty bars, and it made wrestling on TV during the pandemic, or like even now with AEW, like full circle. Like, I had that experience. I've worked with people that are not that great, worked with people that are really good that are like hitting gems. I've learned how to like actually interact with crowds and like have that fun experience, be my own promoter, make my own brand, sell merch, like get out there and really grow as a professional wrestler. Like, that was the whole mindset behind that. I'm very introverted, very into myself, but like I needed to get out there, push myself outside this box and go take that leap of faith.
And you did. What a great leap of faith it was. I want to backtrack a little bit because we talked about the Hardys, but who else were some of kind of your inspirations or favorite wrestlers, you know, kind of growing up?
First thing that sticks out was Rey Mysterio. I remember I watched his debut match on Velocity when he popped up through the bottom of the entrance ramp. Like, this is very cool. I never saw Lucha Libre before. Booker T, The Rock, the big heavy hitters, Triple H, Kane, Undertaker, like Jericho. Like, I remember like these pivotal moments in their careers, like the Undisputed Championship when they combined the two titles and there's like the four matches building up to that one. I was a huge fan of Kurt Angle, like just the entertaining, going out there with like the belt truck. I loved all wrestling. Like, I just loved all the characters I got to see because I was learning little things about all these different people, and that's what drew me into the whole show.
It's just so great that there's so many different styles and so many different characters and backgrounds, and it's a buffet and there's something for everyone, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch of fan questions coming up for Khan. I'm sure this won't surprise him. Most of the questions are from his adoring female fans. Coming up next on AEW Unrestricted. This is AEW Unrestricted. Aubrey and Alex here talking with Khan, ROH, two-time. Six man. There's so many numbers there. Two-time six man champion. He's killing it. He's all over the U.S. Just such a humble guy, such a great guy, such an incredibly hardworking individual. And I'm so glad you're a part of our family. This is wonderful.
And he's a prince. I mean,
he's
come
a prince.
On.
He's a prince. A prince from Minnesota.
A legit prince.
We've gotten to the fan question part. I love breaking the fourth wall here. So my sister helps me with my social media. And anytime I have to do like the Q&A for the podcast, I'm like, hey, can you give me a picture for Connie? He goes, oh my God, he's so hot. Like, it's the first thing my sister says to me. I'm like, Yeah, okay. And then like seeing all the questions come in, like we've got some adoring fan questions from you've got quite the fan, so we'll get to that. But first off, we have a question from the Dalton Castle.
Sounds familiar.
Who says, please ask, what's his problem?
I don't have a problem.
His problem is Dalton Castle.
Yeah, I mean, it was him and the boys like screaming all the time. And the fact that he called me a hippopotamus is kind of disrespectful, yeah. Honestly.
That was a low blow. It really was. I thought better of Dalton.
That's my problem. That's why I had hit them so hard.
Well, now he knows. Dalton, you know, you got your answer, buddy. So moving on, Allie Golem has a really great question. She wants to know, with Shane Taylor Promotions coming back and showing up at Final Battle, do you see yourself being pulled two ways between Shane Taylor Promotions and the Embassy?
I'm not sure. They're both great factions, both great members on both teams. But what I think I saw that question too. I'm not pulled in two ways. I feel like if anything, they both should be fighting over me. When you think about I am the common denominator here for why we both held championship both. So clearly I'm the prized possession. They should be coming towards me, right? They should be fighting for my presence on the team.
Good answer. I feel like I'm on the Family Feud. Good answer. That's right. They should.
The Embassy has so many princes. We could just spread them around a little bit. And each group could get a little bit of royalty. No big deal.
That's true.
We have a question from Phoenix. Congrats on becoming 2x ROH six-man champion. Who do you have your eyes on next?
So I thought about this because the six-man belts have a lot of history, a lot of honor there. And if you think about the team that was most notable holding these titles before us, I believe it was the Elite. Mm-hmm. The reason why AEW exists. So I'm watching that basically the Game of Seven very closely. I want to see who takes that. And
me too.
Whoever gets those six-man belts AEW, I think that's who we're studying up on.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, thanks for the heads up. I'll let the boys know.
Yeah.
We will we'll start preparing for the Embassy. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a question here from Kylie Fuller, who wants to know, well, she needs to know actually, about the tattoos. Can you tell us about the tattoos and what the meanings are?
Yes, I guess this would be a good time to clarify to people. Again, I'm Cameroonian. I found The Rock when I was 13 years old. He was the person that had like the big tribal piece.
Yeah.
My people in Bua believe, part of the tribe that I am, Bakwari, we believe that we can like shapeshift and have a spiritual connection with elephants. So this is like a very abstract mask. Like the two eyes, the two ears. Trunk would be my chest piece. And there's a bunch of other textiles. There's a fisherman deity. All this is specific to the tribe that I am. All of this is more so my mom's side of the family. Czechoslovakian, Irish, some religious stuff in here. I have like a whole horror leg sleeve. Chucky was my favorite movie growing up, Child's Play 2. Jeepers Creepers, Leatherface. And then I have the Dullahan, which is the Hellish Horseman. It's Irish folklore. So again, I tried to like pull stuff from my family, like little history things, and that's just kind of that makes up who I am.
That's so cool.
Your body is a history book.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I like the casual mention of horror films there. Have you ever chatted with like Allie and the Blade about your love for horror?
I have not. I've overheard them talking. Again, I'm pretty reserved, so until like I feel comfortable, people ask me questions, I'm just in there listening, taking things in. But yeah, I'm a huge horror fan. My dad has watching The Omen when I was 5 years old. Why, I don't know, but that kind of set me on this weird path of just, my sister and I are people that stay up to like 2 a.m. just watching horror movies in bed. I'm gonna go to sleep after this, but we just watched like The Christ.
Oh God, I can't do it. I'm not a horror fan. I respect it. I respect the love for it, but it's not for me. We have a question from Jennifer Griffin, slightly silly, but you know, whatever, we knew this was coming. How do you handle all the thirsting that we do for you on a daily basis?
Just go through and I just like and retweet stuff, and sometimes I share on my story. However, if you see me in person and you're thirsting after me, just know this. If you're not wearing my merch, do not talk to me.
Oh,
wow.
I will not talk to you. So
damn.
The things you learn here are unrestricted. I mean, out of all the things I think that we have found out here today about Khan, you better be wearing his merch, ladies. You got to be wearing the merch.
I think also he just definitely sold a few shirts on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm going to do the Keanu Reeves hand pose. I'm not going to.
Oh, God, I love that. I do that at meet and greets now. It's just always like the very polite, like hand behind, but like do the fist not touching. Like
yep.
That's the way to go. It's the most respectful way to take photos with ladies.
Yep.
Amazing. So we got a question here from, I believe it's Terrell. They know that you just regained the World Six Man Championships, but will you compete in singles matches to get yourself ready for obviously the main event scene, which you belong in?
Oh, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. Like, if you, again, you go through my mentions, what people say about me, I'm the one that's home to give the next crown jewel. I'm going to be at the top of this business within a couple of years. Like, the trajectory is already there. So, you know, if they ever want to give me singles opportunities, I'll go out there, knock it out the park.
Love it. We got a question from Ref Aubrey on Twitter. Not actually on Twitter, but just now. So you've got the art background, you've got, you know, your wrestling, your fitness, all this kind of stuff. Do you have any other hobbies?
I just started taking acting classes. I feel like if you want to be good at this, then that's something that you need to, again, I want to take myself outside of this box of who I am, being pretty introverted. So working on public speaking, I want to learn how to do monologues, get more into this emotional storytelling. Other than that, no. I guess I like anime. That's what the League of Villains jersey is.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'm a fan of wrestling and working out. Like, that's what my life is.
And now, do you have any dream opponents?
I do want another chance with Andrade. Roosh, him and I barely tussled. We did the 8-man tag, and he's such a cool dude, but like, I love the way that he works. And then we got to wrestle FTR. That's crazy that like I got to wrestle FTR, but I need to wrestle them again. We need to do that again for like higher stakes. It just like came together so fast. It's like a dream that it happened but didn't really happen.
Yeah.
I need like a story there. I want to really like passing the new guard, the old guard, like I need to have that long storytelling rivalry with these guys. I love what they did with the Briscoes. I feel like Toa and I can like whoop their ass again. So
yeah, especially like FTR now after like the 2022 that they had, like the amount that you learn in the ring with guys like that. And there's so much knowledge at AEW. There's so much experience that we all gain. And I'm really happy that you're a part of our family. And I love working with you in the ring and getting all the opportunities. It's just absolutely great. And I'm going to have to pick your brain on some workout tips eventually coming up. So thank you for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, thank you. You gave me a tip for the new suitcase. I got to go get a full refund. Got that for free. So.
Oh, yeah. No, the away ones? Yeah. Full refund. Yeah. Yep. No, they're great. They don't even pay me to say that, but it's the best suitcase ever.
They are great.
They're so great. And full lifetime refund. If it's broken, replace it.
Easy. So I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Of course. You can follow Con on Twitter at The Con and on Instagram at The.Con, and that's K-A-U-N.
Yep.
There's a lot of ways to spell con in wrestling. Let's make sure we get this one right.
That's a good point.
Very good point, right? You can follow and listen to this podcast. New episodes every Thursday, free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch the YouTube episode on Mondays. Just search AEW Unrestricted. Also on Mondays, Dark Elevation. Tuesday, Dark. Wednesday, Dynamite, Rampage, Friday. We're all over the place. You can see Khan, you can see Toa, you can see the entire embassy all over the place. Watch ROH on Bleacher Report. This is freaking great. I am Aubrey Edwards along with my special co-host, Alex Abrahentes. Thank you for listening to AEW Unrestricted. Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you. Unrestricted.